Michael, welcome to Talk Satellite here in Kuala Lumpur at APSCC.
Thanks, Kevin. Pleasure to be here.
Can you take us through the AVCOM history?
Yeah, so AVCOM was founded by my father in 1981, and my father was fortunate enough to be able to start a business out of his technical hobby. At the time, he was into amateur radio, and satellite television was an emerging space. He essentially got interested in it, built a few early C-band systems to receive TV signals that were being transmitted in Australia, and that translated into products that customers wanted to buy. And as we fast forward a bit to where we are now, you know, the space industry is a booming industry solving all sorts of great problems here on Earth, and it's just fortunate enough that we built the business in the old way. So
AVCOM today, very different, three divisions, all serving a variety of customer segments.
Yeah, so I'll take you through the three divisions of AVCOM. We have our AVCOM Space and Defence brand, and that's really where we're focusing on the government and the defence work, big projects, as well as our manufacturing elements. We've got our Step Electronics brand, which we acquired from Hills at the end of 2019, which does lots of SATCOM hardware to people, whether that be the telco industry, again, defence, government, kind of anyone who wants bits and pieces. And we have our SkyTel brand, which focuses on providing satellite internet and managed satellite internet services to the Pacific Islands.
Fantastic growth over the last 3 to 5 years. What was happening in the market during this period?
Like a lot of the stories, it being in the right place at the right time. We've been plodding along in the background, having our kind of field services skills, and space became back in vogue, and so much more activity is happening now with satellites being launched into MEO, LEO, all sorts of different things, whether it be CubeSats all the way through to the big constellations like OneWeb and Starlink. And of course, every satellite needs ground stations, and that's what we do. So the more satellites that get launched, the more rockets that launch them, you know, the more need there are for ground stations, and so there's a natural pull for the kind of experience and the skill set that our team had. So we've just been able to ride that wave, and we're just going to keep riding as long as we can.
Many companies pivoting towards defence. What has your experience been?
Yeah, defence is an interesting market. It's got a lot of pros, and it's also got a whole lot of cons in there as well. We've had some good success getting to working with Lockheed Martin on the JP9102 program. We're in the ODIA phase of that. But really, that exposure that got us to have a look at defence, when we looked into a lot of the defence programs, or almost all of them, we found there was a need for ground segment. We found there was a need for ground station terminals. And it was refreshing to then kind of see that there's a demand and a need to have this capability and a desire to have an Australian sovereign company, like AVCOM being family owned, come in and help and serve that market. So that's been a very attractive thing for us. There's a lot of sense of purpose and duty that comes out of working in there, and we see it as a long-term sustainable market for us.
AVCOM, active in the Pacific Islands. Can you bring us up to speed with your activities in this market?
Yeah, we've been in the Pacific for a long time. Back in 1995, my father first travelled to the Solomon Islands, originally to look at setting up a pay TV company. That never quite eventuated, but the relationships that he founded on that trip with Solomon Telecom and others turned into a business in itself. So if we transfer forward to today, we work a lot in Papua New Guinea. We've got a very close partnership with Telecom Limited, where we're working with them to solve a bunch of their connectivity challenges in country, whether that be for fibre restoration services or for VSAT services out into the remote provinces that need solar power and a whole bunch of other elements. And we do business as well through Nauru and Fiji. You know, any of these remote markets that have connectivity challenges that need satellite, they've got a lot of great satellite infrastructure that's sitting out there. It just needs a bit of TLC and a bit of expertise to kind of bring it back into the modern world. And once again, that's where we sit. Our SkyTel brand is focusing on providing managed internet services out to those communities. But the focus here with SkyTel is that we're agnostic. So we don't own a satellite. We don't own an orbit. We have agreements with all the major satellite operators, where we can buy LEO, MEO and GEO. And so what we say to operators is, look, we're not going to just sell you what we have. You know, it's like going down to the car dealership. If you go to the Holden dealership, they're going to sell you a Holden. Go to the Ford dealership, they're going to sell you a Ford. But when you come to SkyTel, we can truly recommend from a technical perspective the product that's going to suit the customer's needs. And we see there's a bit of a gap in the market where understanding of how all these different satellite products fit together is missing. And so that's what we're trying to address and help the people in the Pacific to make sure the money that they spend is spent on things that actually help solve the problems that they have.
Personally, we see you at various trade shows around the globe. What ambitions do you have to expand?
We're a fairly young team. I'm fairly early in my career, and we are looking to expand into markets where there's new opportunities and bigger challenges to overcome. Australia's a great place and it'll always be our home, but we're now looking at the US market, a very appealing market. It's, you know, if you look at the space industry, America is the size of the rest of it combined. So we hope next year to be completed an acquisition, which will give us a US foundation and a whole new business line that we'll be able to fold back into our Australian manufacturing piece. And that's got really exciting for us because we've got a whole bunch of team we've got to go set up. We've got a whole new market to conquer. The market itself is huge. And so, you know, that's a big catalyst for us.
We were discussing earlier, you're even manufacturing now.
Manufacturing is an interesting one. You know, with COVID and the impact it had with supply chains, we used to have a challenge trying to sell the product. Well, in COVID, we were able to sell it, but we couldn't ever supply it. You know, we looked to kind of solve our own problem, and we thought, well, maybe we can have a crack at manufacturing some of the key elements that we use with our customers. And that's where our Cassowary ground station has come from. That was the genesis of it. It was really a special project for a university. And then when we kind of started to talk about that in the community, we got a lot more engagement. And so now it's become an entire product line. And in fact, we see it as a key element of Avcom's growth in the future. You know, one of the drivers for our acquisitions we are overseas is to bring some of our supply chain in-house so that we can have that as a sovereign piece of our product. And we're also looking to expand in regional New South Wales with a manufacturing facility to build ground terminals for the earth observation and civilian markets, but also looking at what we can do with defence. When we had the push to look at it, you know, we looked at America, we looked at what the cost it was to do this manufacturing, and then we went and had a look in Australia, and it turns out, you know, Australia actually has what a great manufacturing talent. You know, there's a bit of a myth that gets around saying we don't do manufacturing in Australia because I think of the car industry is going away. But when we kind of went and had a look, it's like, yeah, maybe the high volume, low value manufacturing is challenging in Australia. But the high value niche stuff, we actually do a really good job of it and we're cost competitive. So when we put that together, we realized we could build our own system, so we had the design authority. We could fix the problems we saw with other people's systems when they were trying to shoehorn into Australian applications. And we could offer a better value product to the end customer and make more money. So it was like, well, hang on a minute, why aren't we doing more of this? And so we see manufacturing as a key driver for Avcom's future. It gives us our own product line that differentiates us. And we can also make sure that it actually solves the customer's problems.
Michael, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kevin.